Hi everyone, quick disclaimer before this episode. We tried to actually make our sound crystal clear for the first time this week. Unfortunately, we've had to use our backup recording because things went a bit awry and Kirk sounds like he's living in a cupboard. So never mind, but bear with us as next week should actually be crystal clear audio. Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with Ben and Eddie.
Hello.
And this week, for the first time as a consistent new pod member, Kirk.
Hello. Shit, am I involved now?
You are fully involved. You're fully fledged. It doesn't mean Pete's off the show. He just can't do tonight. So it made it sound like you've replaced Pete. You have not replaced Pete. next week will be the first week where the four of us are together on the pod. But yeah, Kirk's full time now. How do you feel about that, yeah. Kirk?
I don't know. I don't really know. There's a lot of emotions that I'm going through at the moment.
Depressed,
upset, grumpy. Grumpy, definitely grumpy.
Nice.
No. Thanks for the opportunity, boys. Let's just get out of the park, shall we?
What the fuck is this?
Okay, let's not go down that route.
Christ. Come on, let's just do this.
Okay, right. Anyway, another thing that's going on tonight for the first time is that we're trying to improve our sound. So we're all recording separately and trying to merge the sound with new and improved mics. If this sounds as poor as every other episode, then you realise that that's gone to shit and it's probably Kirk's fault. But if it sounds great, then... they're fantastic. We've done it. So let's see what the feedback's like next week. Also next week, because this is actually episode 51 on our podcasting journey. So next week will be 52. It'll be our anniversary episode. Mm. And we're going to do another of our special top threes. So I think, what have we done before? We've done RPGs. We've done like best moments in gaming.
Wow, yeah. Moments.
Yeah, Pokemon is the best RPG. We've done top three WoW moments. We've done one other, I think. Our top three strategy games.
Yeah, Strategy Jack came on for that one, didn't he?
Yeah, so that was really good. So cool. What we're going to do is during the week on Twitter, we'll announce what we're going to do a top three of. And if for those of you that are new to the pod, what we do is we basically bring three or four each to the table, and then we do like a kind of like knockout group stage knockout system where we argue it out to see what ends up being the top three best whatever of all time. So it's pretty fun. And
we have a drink.
That's the best part, to be honest. So but yeah, this week I'll put it up on Twitter what we will be doing our top three of. So that's at Grumpy Gamers Pod if anybody would like to follow us. We usually do that at the end of the show, but who knows who's with us by the end of the show. So might as well say it now. But the rest of the show, we will be going through the gaming news of the week, the new releases, which will include us talking about the Switch OLED, because I did cave and I ended up getting a Switch OLED. as many would predict.
Ben, I listened to the podcast, because obviously I wasn't here last week, was I? I listened to the podcast, I think it was 2 days after it was released, and I had received a message from you saying, I've got the new OLED. And then I listened to the podcast that night, and I went, he didn't even last 2 fucking days.
No, because you know what it was? I said that I wanted an OLED. After that show, I was like, oh, I really want an OLED. And I said that to my girlfriend, and then she said, don't worry, because I've already pre-ordered you one. And I said, whoa, what's happened there? And she went, well, I knew you'd change your mind.
Yeah.
So I just thought better than having an annoyed and, you know, bad person to be around. When it was out of stock, she would just pre-order it. And then if I didn't want it in the end, she would cancel it. But ultimately, always knowing that I would want it. So here we are. We have an OLED in possession. And also, for what we've been playing this week, I've been playing Metroid Dread. So we are going to talk about that one. So looking forward to it. But we were together this weekend, weren't we? We were at EGX.
It was a lovely weekend.
Yeah. So we went to EGX in London, all four of us. So we will be talking about that as our feature.
All right.
So looking at
except for the fact Pete's not going to be there.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I know Pete played a few games as well, a few indie games that we didn't get around to playing. So that would have been good to talk about. But I'm sure he will bring it to the fore next week. But shall we get on with the news then for this week?
Cool, yeah.
Let's do it. Shall we start with you, Kirk?
Sure. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, well, that was so...
Here's the thing. I was not expecting you to come to me first, okay? Didn't have the dock up in time, so now I'm a bit screwed.
You're learning. Okay, you're learning. Right,
I've not been on 10% of the shows or anything, so... I've taken this from Eurogamer. GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas fans use Steam reviews to encourage people to buy the originals before Rockstar delist them. So I don't know if you guys have heard about this particular story. Now, we all know that the definitive edition of the three main GTA games was announced by Rockstar last week, on Friday, I believe. And it's coming out on all platforms, basically all platforms, and Steam. The users are using the review system within Steam to tell people to buy every single version that's on there at the moment, and you can get all three for $16.99. And the reason is because when they're delisted, they'll never be available again in that current form. So
in the original form, yeah.
In the original form, yeah. So it's quite an interesting way of getting that noise out. But I had a quick look earlier, and on GTA 3, it's just basically all the top reviews are buy this now before it delists and before Rockstar are like trying to money grab, etc., and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know what, it's actually really cool that gamers are looking out for each other in this way, because why are Rockstar delisting everything? It's a definitive edition, sure, but it's the same fucking game.
Well. But you've got to think about Rockstar. Like, they're only going to get two things. They're either going to get people buying the cheaper, older one, or they're going to get people complaining that they bought the wrong version. So,
The real reason is they just want more money. By taking away the old ones, they know they can put a markup on this new version, which apparently will... Well, we don't know. We haven't actually seen anything of it, and it's meant to be coming out before the end of the year.
Yeah, but they are spending money on it, so they should get paid, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I know that, but it's currently $16.99 for free, like, almost 20-year-old games, yeah?
Yeah.
What's going to be so fancy about this new version that is going to warrant, and although we haven't had the prices yet, you can guarantee it's going to be at least £30 or more.
Big time price, yeah.
So it's one of those, all they're going to do, I imagine, is just put a bit of fresh paint over it, and they're going to just... sell it for like double the price of what there is.
But that fresh paint's gonna look bloody glorious, Kirk.
Glorious.
£30 worth of glory.
Absolutely. Maybe 40. maybe 60.
Do you know what? If they did 60, that would fucking cause an outrage.
But you are getting three big old games for that. But I know what you're saying. But they are gonna. I heard they're gonna improve controls and stuff. So if I were gonna play these games, I would definitely be playing the definitive edition. I don't think, and all the DLCs and stuff. I don't think I'd be going back old school and getting the originals.
I know that you want to play it like in the best way possible. Like play your old games in the best way possible. But also for game preservation. By basically delisting all of the old ones, that's not good for game preservation, because that means something that people played. I saw earlier that the 360, sorry, the one that you can play currently on the Xbox Series S and X is the 360 version. It's just in backwards compatibility mode.
Yeah.
So that's an old game, and it's cool that you can play something from the 360 era. Now, but then once that's gone, it's just gone. It's gone poof, isn't it? So,
yeah. But you at least you can still. I mean, those games will still be around. They sold by the bucket load, didn't they? You can still probably pick one up at CEX or something like that in a few years. They're not going to go through the roof price wise, are they? I wouldn't have thought.
This is Rockstar.
Yeah, but I do understand what they're doing. I mean, they may list that you may be able to buy them in their original form in future years or something like that. Who knows? Because I can understand when they're releasing a definitive edition of the package of the three, they want to make sure they give it the best possible chance to sell well. Yeah. Mm. I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
All I took away from this story is, do you think these marketplaces and Steam, like when you go to buy a game, with this and all the review bombing and everything, maybe include like an important note section from the market?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Just to like stop everyone doing the stupid reviews and to get their message across. I don't know, like, I don't know, maybe like a button that you press and then you can upvote it and that goes to the top so people actually
like,
read it.
Like Reddit.
Yeah, a bit like a Reddit thing, but just like, you know, showing the 10 most important things. So therefore, if people are upset about something that's happened in one of the games that's come out, you know, sooner, then maybe put that in there. I don't know, just something to stop all the review bowing and just putting messages in the reviews.
Did we actually work out whether you had to have purchased the game on Steam to leave a Steam review?
I don't think we looked into that.
I don't know, but Eddie, just to your point there, as soon as these games are delisted, those reviews are gone anyway.
Yeah.
So what does it really matter?
Okay, well, there we go. Eddie, do you want to do your story?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I've got to Eurogamer. You'll know all my stories are Eurogamer, unless I fancy a bit of fluff. And then I go to, you know, the other ones.
Go to the other ones, yeah.
For mine, and I did this story to piss Pete off, and he's not fucking here.
I don't know if
it's good or bad, because it could be good, because he's probably listening to this going, you fucking dickhead. But anyway, over 4 million people claim PC Building Simulator free from the Epic Game Store in just over 24 hours.
Fantastic.
Oh, yes. Simulation games are back, baby. I mean, they were never dead.
They never left. Anything.
Right. PC Building Simulator, which normally goes for £15, became Epic's weekly free game at 5 p.m. Last Thursday, 7th of October. And I think it's up until the 14th, so you can still get it. I'll add that. I've already downloaded it today.
I will be.
Literally, when we got my laptop back at 4 o'clock, to our listeners, I might have accidentally elbowed off my sofa, so it had been out of action for 5 days. But it's back, and the first thing I did was download PC Building Simulator.
Of course.
So it's an astonishing popular giveaway for a game that launched first in January 2019. For some reason, I thought it was. I've seen all the news stories. I've seen everything to do with this. I saw it on like top of list of this week's downloads, and I just assumed it was new. But anyway, PC Building Simulator, which was created by Romanian indie developer Kiss Claudio, I'm going to say that,
brilliant,
and published by the Irregular Corporation, does exactly what it says on the tin. It lets you build and grow your own computer repair business as you learn to diagnose, fix, and build PCs. It features over 1,000 real-world parts from manufacturers like AMD, NVIDIA, and Asus, and has a free build mode where you can use all to create your perfect PC. People love this game. It has an overwhelmingly positive user review on Steam.
Do you reckon this would teach you to build PCs a little bit? Like, not to actually do it, but the different parts and stuff?
Because you know, I want to get it. Well, why I've downloaded it is because I do want to build my own PC. Obviously, with there's a problem, isn't there, with microchips being... Yeah. made at the moment, so graphic cards are astronomically overpriced, so I'm leaving building my own computer for another year or two. But I think this will really give me some more knowledge on like kind of what aspects, because I assume it will have a system where if you have an overpowered something, it won't be optimized to use with a certain thing. Do you know that kind of stuff?
Yeah absolutely.
I was just thinking a game like this is like, when I first heard about this bloody simulator, I thought to myself, what is the purpose of building your own PC in a game? Like, what I can understand, like your pressure washer ones and stuff, you know, satisfying, it's great.
Can you?
But wow,
hey,
he is going mental right now.
It's not here, so it doesn't matter. But then I thought to myself, do you know what, actually, one of the things, like you guys just mentioned, is it kind of teaches you a little bit that, you know, where certain things need to go. But then on the flip side of that, not everybody that builds PCs is going to have a load of money to buy the latest and greatest tech that could go in it. So it kind of gives another another view on what things cost. I guess that there's going to be have to be some form of like this things cost this much. So you know, this
The reviews. He actually picked up one of the boxes and brought it in. So like from obviously where he's ordered it online, so he must have paid something and then brought it in. So yeah, I hope it's got that kind of aspect to it.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a teaching game as well.
I'm looking forward to you playing this, Eddie, because I know I've been all about the simulator games for the last month or two. Bus Simulator, Power Simulator, I mean, they are crackerjackers. But it's time for you to step up and get involved in the simulator game, I say.
Play this glorious one. But not only was I kind of given a shout out to Simulation Games, but I mean, was it four million? I can't even remember. In a day, that's incredible. Yeah, 4 million people in just over 24 hours.
That's absolutely monstrous.
Yeah. What download rate? And for a 2019 game as well. Anyone listening thought that sounds pretty cool. It is free up until probably a couple of days after this podcast release. So get on Epic Games Store. I know we're all about the Game Pass, but maybe just have a little look at the games.
Yeah, well, so we used to be all about Epic, but we've not talked about Epic for a while.
Yeah,
so,
well, there you go. There you go. Nice, shameful plug.
Yeah,
go on,
lovely.
Epic.
Lovely. right. My story for the week is, I think it's quite biggie. So on 4chan, probably about 5 days ago, a torrent was posted and it contained Twitch's source code. And also streamer earnings, not including sponsorships and stuff. So this is just what Twitch has paid streamers between August 2019 and October 2021. So it's all been put on Twitter now. That includes the top 100 paid streamers. And it also had the monthly earnings in September for different streamers and stuff like that. So the earnings for the top guys are insane. And like I said, that does not include sponsorships. So for particular plugs, playing certain games, that type of stuff, that is just not included in any of this. So this is just almost the basic stuff from Twitch. I don't really want to go into individuals here because I don't think that's fair. But it's readily available for people to see and find it. I know a number of news outlets have shown the tweets and everything, but the top guys are taking home 100k plus a month, and that goes up to 700k. I saw one which went 700k was earned last month. Dollars, but also over the last 3 years, the cumulative totals of the top streamers. I mean, the top person was almost 10 million. I think. Now, obviously, this does not stretch to everyone. I'll go into that in a minute. But there was when I looked at the Eurogamer article on this, they pointed out that most streamers are men, and there wasn't an incredible amount of diversity, which I don't know whether that's to be expected or not, but it's something that probably should be worked upon. But it's something for Twitch to work out. Sponsorships are a huge thing. It was also pointed out on this in this article and on Twitter and the leak and stuff that the majority of the cash that somebody can earn is probably through sponsorships, and in particular gambling type games. They can earn over $1 million a month in terms of their sponsorship. So this is probably a bigger concern than EA's loot boxes. I mean, it's pointed out in the article, go and read it, but they talk about streamers then influencing their audience can be mostly children. It's playing games that cost money. Think about all that money that's coming from their audience, which eventually goes through to paying them. But that's one issue. The second issue is that because I'm discussing the top earners here, let's not be fooled. Many of the streamers that you or I would be watching, they earn next to nothing, or they're earning enough to supplement the bills or to cover their bills in a month. So most of them are not rich. Let's not be saying they are, but it's just I think this raises a couple of questions. One, there's this massive leak. So Twitch is obviously the main player, the main platform for streaming games, and I would say that's mainly because the interface is brilliant. It's easy to find games, easy to find the guys that you like, you can follow, whatever. And it's easy for small streamers. Like, if we started streaming, it's very easy for us to have a Grumpy Gamers, yep. and we just on your PS5, your Xbox, or whatever, you just stream. Yep. And it's all integrated. That's brilliant. But for larger streamers, many of them have been kind of moving over to YouTube or even Facebook Gaming, which I don't think is very good because the platform for it to find people and stuff is pretty shoddy. That's my opinion anyway. But people are moving over. Is this going to force people to move over again? Because even if this was like an inside leak and all this kind of stuff, it doesn't look good for Twitch, does it?
No. Not at all.
I bet they're fucking livid, the streamers as well, right? Because they probably, like, I mean, we all know that they, you know, the big ones, they earn quite a bit, but it's kind of all done hush. It's not like they bloody brag about it, is it? So I bet they're not over the moon that it's been leaked.
I think it's quite, what's quite interesting is when I was watching one stream, a streamer talking about it, and he said there was one person who had a certain following and earned a particular amount of money, and then somebody who had 10 times that, but they earned the same amount. And that was, and he said, well, it's because certain communities are more generous and that type of stuff. And this Twitch base money doesn't mean that's the whole earnings, because if you've got a higher view account, then you're more likely to get sponsorships and all this kind of stuff. So it isn't a quick and easy equation to look at. But what it does say, though, and it isn't surprising, that also post COVID, that streaming is a viable career path. There are different career paths out there now in terms of gaming, in terms of YouTube, YouTubers who talk about gaming news or reviews and stuff like that. And we follow a dozen of them, and it just shows how viable a career choice this is if you get good at it, if you have that following, if you're in the right place at the right time, and you're doing the right stuff, and the right game is out there for you to play and at that particular time. But it's a horrible one, because you've got to move with the times constantly. You can't rest on your laurels as a streamer, especially because streaming is so young in itself. You don't know where it's going to head, but it does show young people that there are different careers in gaming out there.
I've always thought about it. I've always thought about doing it. But the problem is I don't want to be. I love gaming. Gaming is my favorite hobby that I have. Probably my biggest by quite a way. And I think maybe if I streamed, it might force me to play the games, and therefore I won't feel like it's a fun hobby anymore. Is that weird?
No, I think it could turn into work if you're a scheduled streamer. I can definitely see that being considered work. So I get that. I think if we were going to start streaming as a podcast, we would do variety streams. We'd do certain games, certain times.
If it's with mates, I think that's a different story, because I would probably just see it as gaming with my mates. Yes. Well, when I'm by myself, because obviously I don't just talk all the time when I play games by myself. I think my girlfriend would think I was a mental case if I was doing that. But I think with mates, I think it would be different. Plus, I remember seeing, is it the computer game show? You know, the podcast. They did a Star Trek one.
Yes.
And I saw it. We're a bit like that when we play Warzone and stuff. You know, there's funny stuff that come out and we have a go at each other. And I would love to do something like that. Definitely.
You up for that, Kirk?
Yeah, I'd be up for it. Of course I would.
Yeah, so have you thought about streaming in the past?
I haven't thought about streaming because I've never considered anyone wanting to sit down and watch me play games.
Your morale is low this week, isn't it?
but what you have to consider is, like you both have just said, if it's with mates, it's a bit different. And people tune in for the banter, essentially. It doesn't really matter what you're playing. You could be playing bloody, I don't know, one of the crappiest games in the world with the shittest mechanics, but we could still make it fun.
I think the key thing with streaming is that if you watch, go on to Twitch, 99% of channels will have under 5 people watching. You know, that's just how it is, because so many people are streaming. But it's, you know, over time people will like it and enjoy it if you're good, or they won't, because there's a saturated market. So who knows? But it might be something that we might do in the future. So we might in future episodes be saying that we are going to be streaming during the week. But again, we'd announce it on Twitter if we were going to do that.
Yeah, you know what I would do is RimWorld. because yeah. the stories that I get myself into, it's almost annoying because I play them and I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. Holy shit, this is hilarious. And all sorts of things come up and I'm like, oh, if only it was some, yeah, I would love it if I had like an audience there and they all went like, holy shit, that just happened. You know, that'd be cool, you know, to yeah. enjoy it with them. That'd be good.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
Okay. I feel like this one news story has just turned me from I won't stream to I'm going to stream next Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to be streaming.
You're already setting up your account, aren't you?
Yeah,
no, Kirk, I've already got us. I've got us a Grumpy Gamers account. Don't you worry about it, kid.
Excellent.
Right, let's move on. Let's move on to the new releases. Before you kick off, Eddie, with the games, I thought I'd give a Switch OLED brief review.
Oh yes, please.
Yeah, so I got the OLED, as I said. I did bring it up to London when we were there. I know you guys briefly saw it. For me, the comparison to the original Switch, it's a noticeable difference in size. So the screen now is a 7-inch screen. Before it was 6.2, and it basically just gets rid of the bezels outside of the original Switch screen. The Switch itself is about 3 millimeters wider. That does mean that if you have like a Satisfy grip or on an OVO one or whatever, it probably won't fit. So I'm now using the Switch just free because, and we'll wait for Satisfy to make a new grip that I can get hold of. So that does make a little difference, but it should fit into all your cases and stuff. The stuff that doesn't require serious dimensions to be exactly the same for a tight fit. But the screen quality is fucking fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah, you saw it, Kirk, didn't you? I showed you.
I did. Yeah, I had a. You let me have a brief play on it, didn't you? On the
Metroid. With Metroid.
And it is nice. I mean, what was the original Switch? Was it an LCD?
Yes.
I think it was an LCD screen. Yeah. So I remember the first time I went from an LCD phone to an OLED phone, and it is like night and day because, like you know, the blacks are black. Because it's not a light trying to shine through from it anymore, like a uniform light, and it really does on that screen on that Switch. It definitely looks incredible. It's very crisp and clear, and it's bright as well.
Oh, really, really vivid. So they've actually put through. There's actually a vivid mode and a standard mode now in the system setup. So it's vivid by standard, but if you by default rather. But if a game is too poppy, then you can turn it down to standard. So
I guess too vibrant. Nintendo games are quite colourful, aren't they?
So I'm imagining. Yeah, I'm imagining Mario Kart. You might need to put on standard.
Oh Jesus!
it really does. I mean, I had them side by side when I'm transferring data from one to the other, like to transferring my saves and stuff. And it just looked. I mean, I both had them in dark mode. Now, dark mode is actually a dark grey, so it's not actually black. But it still looked fantastic. The screen difference, the quality difference, just looked amazing. And it's not something that you can really get hold of in a YouTube video. It really is noticeable in your hands. Also, the internal speakers have been vastly improved. So if you like to play handheld with the sound on, the speakers are just so much better. And I did recently notice when I was playing Eastwood and I had the sound up on my old Switch, I thought, this could be a lot better. So that's another big improvement. If you like tabletop mode where you put the Switch on the kickstand is now so much more robust and it goes across the whole at the back of it, which is excellent as well. And just for the other spec increases, it's got a 64 gig like hard drive memory now rather than 32, which cool. You know, you're gonna need to buy a memory card anyway, but
you can still expand it, can't you? But it's nice to just have more, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. So it's just nice to be there. But overall, the build quality feels vastly superior. It's only 20 grams heavier, which is excellent. But for me, if you can sell your old Switch at a reasonable price, and it's a 100 quid upgrade, maybe, for me, I think the OLED is a worthy upgrade, because I play in handheld 99% of the time. So it is my way of playing the Switch. So for me, it does seem like a really good, I'm very pleased with it. I don't feel like I shouldn't have bought that. I'll tell you
another thing that I noticed, I haven't seen them side by side, but just knowing what the original Switch looks like versus the new one, it looks very clean and modern, doesn't it, in comparison? Like the old one looks quite dated now.
You're right, it does. I mean, that the bezels, taking the bezels away and making the screen wider is definitely a big thing. But also, just the actual build quality of, like, the buttons, not the Joy-Cons, but the actual, like, on-off switch and the volumes and, like, the
tactileness of them.
Yeah, everything is just that little bit firmer. It actually feels, as a console, more sturdy than the previous one, which... yeah, it's a weird thing to say, but it actually just feels like it's a better build quality. So yeah, I mean, mine was an OG Switch, so maybe they've improved the newer ones anyway, just on different versions that they quietly do in the background. But yeah, so that's the OLED review.
And how much does it cost, Ben?
I think in the UK it's £310.
Right. Okay. Do you think that's good value for money?
I think if you haven't got a Switch, I think the argument should be whether you want a Switch Lite or you want an OLED. I do think the Switch Lite is fantastic, but I do think the £50 difference, I think, between just a normal Switch and the OLED, I think it's a worthy £50 upgrade. If you were going to buy new, and for somebody who's already got a Switch, if you can sell your previous Switch at a good price, then I do think it's a good upgrade. It's more than I thought it was going to be. It's better.
It did look nice. I can't deny that.
Yeah,
nice. That's pretty cool.
Cool. But shall we move on to you, Eddie, for the games?
Oh, okay. Yep, sure. Let's start with, I'm definitely not scrolling down. Big one, Back for Blood, coming out PC, PS5, Xboxes, PS4, and the old Xboxes as well. October 12th, so probably the release of this. Poddy.
That's also on Game Pass, isn't it?
Yes, on Game Pass as well, it's the big one. I think we're all getting it, aren't we?
We are.
It's already pre-installed, mate.
That's why I haven't done that, but yeah. yeah, that would be great. I think that's a first-person shooter with your mates killing zombies. So I played the Back for Blood 2. Yeah, that was it.
You mean Left 4 Dead?
Sorry, was it Left 4 Dead 2?
Yes, yeah, because yeah, this is essentially Left 4 Dead 3.
Oh, that's right, sorry.
But... yes. But it's the same developers, but yeah. But it is the same thing.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, and that was great fun. But even Pete's getting involved, isn't he? That'll be fun.
He is.
Yeah, he is. He didn't want to be left out.
He wasn't happy when I invited you to play it, and I was like, but Pete, you don't like first-person shooters.
Yes, yeah. It's just a bit weird that you did it in the group involving him. It was like you're
trying to... it's a power thing.
I see.
I love that. Yeah, it was a solid play. For Pete to be there and just to say, Eddie, Ben, do you want to play? Yeah. Solid
brilliant
play.
Brilliant. Right, well, we'll enjoy that. So we'll probably talk about it in the pod in the next couple of weeks. Next one, Disco Elysium, The Final Cut. That's on Xbox Series X. Xbox Original, is that what you've put there, Ben? And Switch. No, what is it?
Oh, yeah, it must be, actually. Yeah, it's on all the Xboxes and Switch. Yeah.
October 12th. Ben, you played that. Brilliant game, isn't it? RPG.
Brilliant game. Recommend to anyone. I think we talked about it last week briefly because I've overlapped the games a little bit, but it'd be nice to see how they put it on the Switch. I think it'd be interesting to see how it performs. So look out for reviews on that one.
Yeah, cool. Next one is Ori Collection, which is the two Ori games, which is one of them's Will o' the Wisp. What was the other one? Can you remember?
Will o' the Wisp and the
other one.
And the first one.
See, this is why we need Pete here, because Pete loved these.
Yeah.
But I did. I absolutely smashed them when I first got my Xbox Series X.
No, it was the first one you played, wasn't it, Kirk?
Yeah, it was literally the first game I played. I can't remember what it's called. The Blind Forest. That's
Blind Forest. Yes. Well, as I pointed out last week, actually, both of these games are already on the Switch. This is just putting them as a collection. So,
yeah. Also, there's nothing new about them then.
No, of course not.
Okay, brilliant. Although I guarantee you that those games will look fantastic on the OLED.
Yes, that's a great point, actually.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so that's coming out October 12th. Next one, A Little Golf Journey, coming out on PC and Switch October 14th. This is a lovely little charming golf game. You don't have a character or anything. You can just, like, it looks like you drag and hit your ball. It looks really, really charming. Have you guys seen that one? It's quite nice, Ben.
Yeah, I'm, I'm looking at it right now. It looks quite nice.
When you say you're looking at it right now, you mean for the first time. You didn't.
Yeah, on Steam. Didn't prep this.
So we made me do this section because I always do research on games, but what you meant by that is so that you can literally hear me talk about the games.
Yeah, absolutely. You're telling me how they operate. But it's a relaxing adventure golf experience played on beautiful diorama courses across a variety of destinations.
Brilliant. Sounds like the now you're just reading the game there. Brilliant. All right. That comes out October 14th. So also on October 14th on PC is Despot's game.
Yes.
This is a roguelike tactics with turbocharged battles. It's an automatic battling kind of simulator, but you do get to choose the whole game is like choosing what you equip your people with. And then you go into the next stage of the arena and then you go and kill loads of people. Then you get to choose again how to like upgrade your people. What do you guys think of this?
Didn't really appeal to me. I don't think art style doesn't look like it's for me.
Yeah, the art style is oh god, I don't even know what to call that. It's even like SNES time, I think.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Not ideal.
Okay. I'm just going to echo what you two said.
Ah, oh, brilliant. Thank you for good content. Being a permanent person on the podcast, Kirk. You're welcome. Not regret this decision at all. Next one is Godstrike, coming out on PS4 and Xbox October 14th. That one's coming out. This one is a 3D boss rush bullet hell.
Nice.
On time, yeah. I thought this looked horrendous, Ben.
I think conceptually it sounds really good, and I think I love boss rush games. I think that's cool, but this has reviewed very poorly.
Yeah, 59% on Metacritic.
4 out of 10 from Nintendo Life. It's not a strong game. Not a strong game.
Oh, dear me. Well, you know, if you like your shit games, then I didn't cull it, so that's pretty good.
No, you didn't, did you? Yeah. Yeah, you didn't.
Know what? I am the worst person to do the culling of games because I always think like, oh, but I might offend that. But I mean, I'm the most outspoken person you know, but I don't want to offend people who think
but you're not, game's really good. You're not offending somebody because it was never there for them to get offended about if you cull it before the show.
Yeah, but you know I'll say if I've culled it.
Right, brilliant.
All right, next one. And this is a good example. Jackbox Party Pack 8. Coming to PC, PlayStation 5, Xboxes, PS4, I don't know why I do it in that order, Switch on October 14th. As Ben says, there were 7 prior, so it must be shit.
I tell you, Eddie, that I have a person on my Switch friends list that they often play the previous Jackbox party packs. I have no idea what these are, but they've played bloody all of them. And they review games. That's what they do. They work for a
Is it like a Mario Party esque type thing, or
it looks like
I can only assume that this person had to review them, and that's why they paid them.
The only person that's played all 8 of them
probably got it on a game code. I don't know. We don't want to offend anyone.
Very good. Yeah, it looks like that, Kurt. Basically, next one, Ruin Raiders, October 14th to PC and Switch. This one is a turn-based tactical roguelike. So you got your squads and your two things. Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm not interested either. Yeah, so that's
we move on.
That's coming out. That's good.
You know, if you like your turn-based kind of tactical isometric view games, but it doesn't... See, I've described that, but I sound like I've just described an amazing game like Wasteland 2. But no, just go look for yourself and see why I'm not happy about talking about it anymore. Okay.
This next one, you're going to love this next one.
Sphere... Flying Cities. I went really West Country there. October 14th, coming out on PC. Yeah, this is a sci-fi city builder, which combines strategy, simulation, and survival elements in an extraordinary and immersive scenario. Yeah, it looks like... it looks fucking brilliant. You know what I'm getting a lot of vibes from? Probably only because of the severe and the... why do I keep on calling that? And the kind of atmosphere. It reminds me of... after all that, I've forgotten the name.
Surviving Mars?
That's it. Holy shit. So even you knew. It's probably because of the dome, isn't it? And you got that inside.
Yeah, it looks really good, though. I mean, from the pictures and what we're seeing, it does look really nice. Good graphically as well. You love a city builder. I think this looks fucking excellent from just looking at it. But I'd like to see a review of it to see how it actually plays. But just graphically and conceptually, it looks very good.
Yeah, looks fantastic. Next one, Crisis Remastered Trilogy. We knew about this one, didn't we? In fact, did you talk about this one last week?
No, I don't think we did, but I think it's in your mind.
We saw it at EGX, didn't we?
We saw it at EGX, yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Looked really good, yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk, you say it looks fantastic. You walked past it and went, why is that here?
That's not...
Sorry, bro. That's cool.
Some more.
That's
no,
cool.
No, no, no. Thanks for throwing me under the bus. Appreciate that. asshole. No, but part of that conversation also included, do you know what? No, it still looks fantastic all this time on.
It came out.
When did it come out originally, the series? It was like... It was the noughties, wasn't it?
Yeah. And
it was the game that all the consoles were trying to run, but they couldn't.
Well, Crisis 3 was that game, wasn't it? Crisis 3 was like the... You know, there are certain games that come out, like Doom 3 was one at the time as well, where it was like, when you buy a laptop or a PC, it was, does it play Doom 3?
Does it play
Crisis 3? Does it, you know, that it was that type of game? And Crisis 3, I think, still taxes most computers, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of those games which was ahead of its time. And I think... Mm-hmm. It still holds up today.
I watched a review, and I'm sure the reviewer even made a quip and said, this is the type of game that it was so ahead of its time that to do a remastered copy, they probably just turned up the sliders because they already had it built. They were already taxing PCs to the max at how they just had it as standard. So, it looked fantastic when we saw it. Because we did actually... I watched somebody play it for a bit. It was... Yeah, look good.
Yeah, I'm excited for it because I've never played the originals. Looking forward to that. That's coming out on PC, PS, PSs, Xboxes, October 15th.
I could be wrong, but the originals, not remastered, maybe they're on Game Pass? Kirk, do you know?
I believe you are right. I think at least 2 and 3 are on there. I definitely have seen them.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
There you go. I mean, that's a bold statement if we don't know that's true. But yeah, I like it. That's what we do here. You heard it first. It's a grumpy Game Pass. Demon Slayer, the Hikonami Chronicles. This one, I didn't cull because Ben will shout at me if I did. October 15th, coming out PC, PS5, Xboxes, PS4 as well, actually. Ben, do you want to say it's a fighting Japanese-y game?
No. We saw this at... I could be wrong. I think it was a PlayStation event. And it is not my game. I think if you like Demon Slayer as like a comic, is it a comic, a TV series? I don't know. To me, this is like a not interested at all unless you're part of this series. Because it didn't look good when they even showing gameplay in that showcase, wherever it was. Like it looked bad as far as I could see. But I think if you're a fan of the show or comic, then I'm sure you'll love it. But it is not for me, sir.
Well, I only kept it in for you. All right, no worries. Next one is a game for everyone. The Good Life. PC, PS4, Xbox, Switch. October 15th. This is... A life while solving a murder mystery in Rainy Woods, known as the happiest town in the world. It looks like a puzzle game. You know what? Like, it looks like a nice puzzle where you're running around a village and solving things. But it does look quite beautiful in its own way.
This has the potential to be awful.
What do you mean? How can it have the potential to be awful?
Because it looks that kind of thing where you go, oh, the art style looks quite good, but actually, when it comes to play, it could be absolute dog shite. I don't know. I mean, let's not big it up too much, is all I'm saying.
Oh, the cats and dogs have sunglasses on, so I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I see that.
I think that's probably what he means. Shh, dog shite.
Right. Well, I thought that looked all right. Next one. Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, PS4, Xbox, October 15th.
Mineral.
Oh, was it? Sorry. It's because I was quickly going over to my other tab that I had it on. This was... Is it a remake of a... I've actually just closed it now.
It's a Harvest Moon, yeah. It's a Harvest Moon game. But I think Harvest Moon is now made by different people, isn't it? And so that's why it's called Story of Seasons. And I don't think it's as good anymore. Is that right?
Okay.
I don't know. If you're a Harvest Moon fan, this might interest you. But I have a feeling that this is now made by different people. It might be a remake of the game that came out on the Game Boy Advance. I'm not certain.
Yeah, well, there is the exact same name that came out in 2003 for the Game Boy Advance. So, yeah, it probably is that. You know, like, after doing a bit of research on this, it is, like, a lot of people say it's quite good. I mean, Google users, 93% people.
Well, it's like that, it's basically, what's that, the game that you liked, Stardew Valley.
Yes. Yep.
Also, Animal Crossing. It's the same. It's the same concept as those ones, isn't it? So, but I think Stardew Valley is the best of those types of games.
You're just saying that as bias, but yes, I do actually.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Dying Light, Platinum Edition, coming out on Switch October 19th.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Dying Light is Dying Light. Bit of a zombie / parkour game.
Yeah, good to see.
Either of you played it?
Yes.
All right.
No.
No. Not so lovely. Ben, did you like it? Or?
I did, but I actually, like, I found it quite, it's very immersive, and I do like it when you start to get proper weapons. But the first time you see, you're at night and you see the crazy fast, powerful zombies. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a scary one.
Yeah. I think because the second one came out and that didn't review too well.
No, the second one is out February next year.
Oh, right. What the hell am I thinking about then?
Don't know, buddy. But the second one is out in February.
What zombie game am I thinking where it's first person and it is actually a single player campaign? I've played it. And I remember it being really parkour and I remember it being shit.
Not Dying Light. Dying Light's a good game.
Okay.
Moving on.
Oh, that's going to really wind me up, that is. All right. Next one. Into the Pit.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes. A fast-paced retro first-person shooter. Yeah, it's...
It's a roguelite as well.
Yeah, it looks too much. It's I don't know what to say about the art style. It's very eccentric and very in-your-face.
It's very colourful.
Maybe Doom players might like it.
Right.
Well, you know those same players that play Doom, they probably play Doom via Game Pass. Well, they can play this one via Game Pass as well.
Wow. Oh, really? Wonderful. Yeah. It does look... you're right, Eddie. It does look quite Doom-esque. The colours are crazy, but yeah, it's got that Doom look to it. And do you say it's coming to Game Pass, Kurt? Did you?
It is, day one.
Fantastic. Okay, cool. Wow. Check it out, Game Pass.
There you go. So if you like games like that, then go get it. War Mongrels coming out on PC October 19th. I'm excited to see this one on this list because I played this at EGX. So it's one of the three games I thought, oh, actually get this when you get home. So it's an isometric real-time strategy game that takes place in the Eastern Front of World War II. I thought at first it looked a bit like Company of Heroes, but it's not. It's more like kind of tactical. What's those little squad-based tactical games? Isn't it like Desperados? Is it those games?
I haven't played those. I did see this at EGX with you, and I thought this looked quite good.
You know what it also reminded me of is Commandos.
Yes.
Remember that old game?
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I think there's like 2 and 3 or something now, isn't there? But
it's got that feel and look to it.
Yes, exactly. So I'm probably going to get this when it's on an 80% sale. So.
Excellent.
There you go. And I thought I would end with the best game here, obviously.
I agree.
Brilliant. Pete's kind of game. Pete will love this. It's YouTuber's Life 2.
Yeah.
Coming out on October 19th. I'm sure Pete will review it because it's coming out on PC as well as PS4, Xbox, and Switch. So
why does this exist?
Well, I can tell you why, Kurt, because the first one was so good, they had to make a second one. you'll see, guys, a lot of actual YouTubers playing this and laughing about it and all that kind of stuff. So look forward to seeing it on streams and on various people's YouTube content. That's all I can say about it, because and I reckon kids will buy this.
Oh, maybe. Really? I hope not.
But please. It doesn't. I'm just looking at it. It just looks god awful. Like, seriously,
it looks horrendous.
Absolutely. I think to your point there, Ben, as well. I think it's a game that's been created for YouTubers to create more content.
Oh yeah, it could do.
I'm sure they've sponsored a lot of YouTubers to play it. But yeah, definitely look out on the October 19th for people to be playing this. And I reckon this will sell well, because I reckon kids will play it after seeing their YouTube stars play it. So. Anyway, it's not going to win Game of the Year, but it's a worthy mention because it'll sell.
Gave it between 53 and 63, depending.
Wonderful. What a game.
So, what a game.
What a game.
Look forward to Pete's review on that one. And that is it for the new releases this week.
Lovely stuff.
Nice.
Right, and now we're going to do something a bit different, actually, for the first time. We're going to play an advert for another gaming podcast. It's called the Offshore Gamescast. It's an American podcast, and I listened to it personally. Eddie, I know you've listened to it, and we both listened to the last episode when we came back from EGX, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were talking about The Ascent, weren't they? They were ripping it a new one, weren't they?
One of our games of the year.
One of my favorite games I've played, actually, really.
It's one of my favorite games, I think, of recent memory of years, actually. Mm.
I'm over the moon that there's another podcast that's actually been negative about games. So that I'm well happy about that. And the audio quality, Ben.
Oh, goodness gracious. And if anything, that's spurred us on to try and get better audio quality. So, yeah. Who knows? But it's presented by two guys called Dave and Dylan. And check it out. They do these cool episodes in between their normal kind of weekly episodes called Dropping the Anchor, which is where they do kind of spoiler cast episodes on various games where they've both played and they want to actually talk about, like, in depth. I know they did the Road 96, which we actually really liked the look of, but we didn't actually get around to playing. And that was on Switch on one of the Nintendo Directs. So it's well worth a listen if you want another gaming podcast to listen to, not just ourselves, because I assume that people only listen to just our podcast.
But listen to our one first.
Obviously listen to our one first. well, actually, our one comes out on a Wednesday, and I think theirs comes out on a Thursday, so...
There you go. There's Wednesdays and Thursdays.
So you must listen to ours first. Anyway, here is the trailer for the Offshore Gamescast.
What is going on, everyone, and welcome to the Offshore Gamescast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Dylan.
We're a couple of friends that are passionate about all things gaming related,
ranging from our current playthroughs, upcoming releases, news, and whatever we find interesting.
We hope to see you soon.
Did you just threaten them?
Don't know.
You must listen
to us first.
You must, yes. Yeah. Right, so let's move on to what we've been playing. So with it being your first permanent show, Kirk, how about you kick us off?
Yeah, cool. Well, I've been diving into Marvel's Avengers, mainly because it was free on Game Pass. Yeah, it's nice. Or is it?
Mm.
What's that? No, I can't allow that.
Yeah, sorry. You're gonna get it wrong. No, just keep going. Now, I'm a huge Marvel fan, and I've been wanting to play this game for a long time. But as we all know, it's had a bit of a rocky kind of bad press. Essentially, the game is loosely based off of the Marvel Cinematic Universe's iteration of the Avengers, but it also throws in elements of the comic book mythology as well. It looks fantastic. Graphically, they've done a really good job. And I, like I said, I've been meaning to play it for a long time, but I had heard that it's got a short storyline. And then as soon as the game is over, you're basically just doing the same shit over and over and over with no real progression and the player base ended up waning big time because it's a live service game. But as it was on Game Pass, thought I'd give it a go just to give it the story a go, because I'm a story driven game guy. So I kind of began the game, and you begin as Kamala Khan. And she's like really young. I think she must be like 12 or something.
Yeah.
When you're playing as her,
right.
And you basically go into an Avengers A Day, which is like it's a special day. I'm just gonna go with that.
You wanted to say celebratory day.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what I want. Yeah.
Someone not say the word and then give up on the word.
Give up so quick as well. One attempt. Yeah. One attempt.
I deal with all things in life like that. Just one try, you're gone.
I appreciate that.
So
yeah.
It's a special day, a day, and unfortunately a terrorist attack takes place, which is obviously orchestrated, etc. The whole point of this initial intro is you play as Kamala, so you can kind of get used to the rough mechanics of moving a character around. She can't do anything special because she's not a superhero or anything. But then when the attack happens, you start playing as each one of the Avengers, which includes the Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Black Widow. They've all got different attacks. They've all got different special abilities. And it basically gives you an insight as to what each character's play styles are like. And this is pretty cool because it's a fast-paced kind of bit which allows you to check out what you're going to be doing in the game, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, the one I didn't enjoy playing was as Iron Man. He is my favorite Avenger, and I love Robert Downey Jr.'s iteration of him in the MCU. But I don't think Iron Man translates well to video games because it just feels really crap to handle, and I don't quite know how to explain it.
I think any flying based character feels a bit weird in video games. And even I think Dragon Ball Z did it quite well on the latest one that came out. Like the fighting there was quite good, even though that was in the air and stuff, because they basically made it feel like the ground in a way. It's quite hard to do, and that's I think one of the reasons why you don't get a Superman game is because Superman's incredibly OP, but also it's just you risk it being quite shit.
Obviously Iron Man is a bit crap to handle, but obviously he's only one of the Avengers. The one I did really enjoy playing as was Captain America. He's quite hands-on.
He was cool.
Combat. His shield special ability, where he throws it and it hits like five or six different enemies, it really thumps when they hit. So you kind of get that kind of connection with the character. You do the initial intro, and then the story progresses, and then you fast forward 5 years and you're back to Kamala again. And then this is where I started to go, is this the game? I don't think I want to carry on. So you essentially, part of the story is she gets inhuman abilities. So she starts having various things that she can do to kind of become a superhero. Her one is she's kind of like Mr. Fantastic, where she can kind of extend her body in a way and like make her hands really big, move her body in like shape-shifting ways. And, you know, that's cool. That's cool and all, I guess. But it seems that she's the main character that you play as. And I don't want to play as that. The story isn't pushing along the way that I want to. So I've been playing it for a couple of hours, and it's just not quite what I want in a game like this, to be honest with you. I kind of feel like it had a lot of ambition, and I see what they're trying to go for, and they were trying to capitalize on the whole Marvel Avengers like brand, basically. But it's just kind of fallen flat on its face. So I'm going to try for another like half hour or so and see if I can if it kind of lifts up from that. But if it doesn't, I don't think I'm going to bother.
See, I'm with you, because I also, as you said, I played the Avengers. I think we've got similar parts. I think the fighting in it is excellent. I think each character feels individual, and it feels like they've put a lot of time into each character. I think that's great. The problem with the start of the game is it's incredibly cinematic, and it just goes from thing to thing to thing. And it never gives you that much time when you're playing the game. And before you know it, I'm in this other cutscene here, and I'm doing this thing here. And and you just want to start playing the fucking game. And I know at the end of it, I think when you finish the story or whatever, it's all about like picking your squad, leveling up your character, and you're choosing who you're going into these missions with and stuff like that. The issue I have is that it's very easy to drop off before you get to that. And I don't think they've done a very good job at selling what the game actually is, because what you're talking about here, what I've experienced as well, probably isn't what the game is, but we're not even willing to give it a chance to get to the stage where we see the real game.
Yeah, so you say that, but from what I've heard from other sources and whatnot, it is just a repetitive thing at the end.
I know, repetitive grind. I get that.
Yeah, and who wants to do that? Same zones, same enemies, just same combat, everything. There's nothing new being added. I know they've added a couple of expansions. I think War for Wakanda or something like added. But that's only like an extra couple of hours worth of content, of new content, and then
it
it's
does,
the same
it does look
again.
Great, though. It does
Yeah, no.
And it plays well.
Don't get me wrong.
And it plays well. Yes. It's just...
I'm
with you, though.
I've got the same
feelings.
I want to be Captain America.
No. All right, man. All right, that's cool. I feel the same, actually. I would like you to play a bit more of it. If you had any muster in you to do it, please do, because I want to know where it goes, because everything about that game to me screams that it should be good. But I know everyone rips into it, but I don't want us to fall into the crowd that we've just listened to everyone else when it's on Game Pass, for fuck's sake. We can literally play this game.
We should actually
try and get it. And it might be a load of shit. But
also, can you imagine how furious we'd be if we'd actually bought it a couple of weeks ago for the £15 it was?
Oh yeah, man, we both had it in our Amazon carts, and then it got announced to Game Pass like 2 weeks later, which was great. But we've both kind of played a couple of hours and gone, oh Jesus, yeah. Anyway, see, that's me. You can do it.
But, yeah, I'll give it a go, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, lovely. And Eddie, I imagine you've been playing the game that you were talking about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Empyrean Galactic Survival. Yeah. I played it up until last week when my laptop fell off the sofa. I've been playing loads of it, really. Absolutely love it. I'm following along the storyline. The only question I've got is, I'm really enjoying the story because it's putting me in situations where I'd never be in, as I said last time. But I'm really curious of what will happen after the story, because... Mm. It's one of these games. You know what's annoying? It's if I never played the story at the beginning, I probably would play this game for a very, very long time, just doing like the base building and defending attacks and stuff. But am I going to feel like the story has played out and I've completed the game, so therefore I won't play it anymore? So, yeah, I'm going to carry on playing it. Now I've got my laptop back as of today. I'm going to carry on playing it, which is difficult because there's... Far Cry came out and a part of me is telling myself to buy it.
I know. Like, I know that's... I want you to play that because I want to know from you whether it's good. Mm. So I've been seeing reviews on Metacritic. It's about between a 75 and 80.
Yeah,
that's the type of score that means for some people it's a 10 out of 10.
Yes.
Like, so it definitely could be that. I really want you to play that one if you have the inclination, Eddie. But this game with a story, how long do you think this story actually is? Because I know you've been playing a lot of hours on this game.
I don't actually know. I reckon if you actually gun for it, then probably not long at all. Maybe like 10 hours. Right. But it's because it's a story that... It's almost like a very long, detailed tutorial story in the sense it's clearly pushing you to do things. So I've gotten to a mission where it clearly wants you to build a capital ship, you know, like a huge ship that carries your small ships. So then you can go and walk to other places. So it's clearly pushing me in that direction to do different things. So, you know, all of a sudden I'll be doing a mission and then I'll spend... I remember before my laptop fell off the sofa, I spent, I think 4 hours building like the most beautiful capital ship ever. So yeah, it's probably only a short story, but it gets you going in all different directions. So yeah, I think I've still got at least another 10-20 hours in the story, but if I keep on doing all the little side things that come with it. So
cool.
I think it'll hold me for at least another week. Basically, I could do with it holding me until Far Cry comes down in price, like maybe its first sale or something. Just so I warrant it, you know. I can't buy, like, I need something to push me to buy something, and just having the big flat £50 sticker on it is not doing much for me.
Yeah, I know, and but Far Cry is the type of game that could get on discount fairly quickly.
Not rubbish. Maybe for Christmas. Probably
going to remember
then.
Yeah, it's difficult because part of me is saying you should buy it because I have a thing where I pay full price for game franchises that I respect and have given me a lot of time in the past. Far Cry was one of them until Primal, and then I still bought Far Cry 5 full price, and my God, was I disappointed there, and I went, right, that enough's enough. That's two games now where it's been absolutely abysmal. So I'm not. Part of me wants like a 30% sale, just so I can go, okay, that's enough. You know.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Well, hopefully you can play it soon because that was the other big release of this week, which we haven't played. But the big one was, of course, Metroid Dread.
Ah, Ben, have you been playing Metroid Dread?
I have. Yeah. I have been playing Metroid Dread. Yes. Yeah. So full disclosure on this: this was my most anticipated game of the year. This was the big one. And I think when you have a game that you're really fucking looking forward to, like, a couple of things can happen. It can either be a massive disappointment.
Yes.
It can be good, but you're enjoying it despite the flaws, but secretly you're quite disappointed inside.
Yeah.
I know
exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. Or in that rare instance, you're in the presence of gaming excellence. And I think with Metroid Dread, it's really the last one. It's a fucking phenomenal game so far. Like, it is so, so good. It's reviewed outstandingly. It's just brilliant. So for those that haven't played a 2D Metroid game before, there are the 2D games. There's also the Metroid Prime games, trilogy that came out, and Metroid Prime 4 is kind of famously in this kind of gaming limbo where Nintendo started making it for Switch, and then they came out in a little Nintendo Direct or whatever and said, sorry, the game's crap, we're starting it again, and we're giving it to someone else to develop. So anyway, you are Samus Aran, you're the bounty hunter. She's like a iconic figure in the Nintendo landscape. The story to Metroid fans is quite important. I think this is the end of a trilogy of 2D games. However, when you're not, it's basically you are investigating a planet, and it's called ZDR because there's evidence that there's like this deadly parasite which should be extinct, but it's not. It's been seen there or whatever, sourced there. So you go to investigate. This is after they've sent like these load of these robots there to investigate afterwards, before you, sorry. But they've kind of been hacked and they're all hunting you when you get there. So they were on your side, or they're on the Federation side, whatever. Then they've been sent there. They've been hacked and they're after you when you arrive. And all of your abilities are taken away from you in classic kind of Metroid style. So you arrive, you're full bounty hunter, fucking awesome, and then everything disappears, and you battle through to gain your powers back, to get back to your ship, essentially. And it repeatedly says to you, your primary goal is to survive. Like, that's the game in a nutshell. So, but like, graphically and sound wise, this shows off the OLED. You could see why this was released next to the OLED. I mean, yes. One, you've got a beautiful white OLED, which is quite Metroid in look anyway. But yeah, it looks fucking great. I mean, Kirk, you saw it, didn't
you? Yeah, when I had a little play around with it, I mean, I didn't go past the little area that I was in because I wasn't allowed to, and I definitely wasn't allowed to shoot those rockets that you had accumulated.
No. I told you not to do that, yeah.
it definitely looks fantastic. Like, honestly, on such a small screen as well, it is punchy, it's vibrant, like I said, because it's quite, the contrast in dark to light is quite stark, isn't it? So
yes,
the screen really helps emphasize that. And one thing I did notice, I didn't mention this to you when I had a little play, but I noticed that when you crouch, Samus has this particular stance, and then you shoot whilst you're still crouched, and the body movement changes a bit.
Yeah.
And I thought,
yeah,
oh, that's a cool little touch. But that new stance is then kept. So like that is primed to shoot again.
Nice.
Yes.
It was just a little touch I thought was quite cool.
It's really good actually for that stuff. Like the character, even though it's a 2D kind of side scrolling game, that the character movement is so bloody fluid. Yes. It looks outstanding. It looks, as you said, vibrant, fluid, looks fresh. On the OLED, it looks better than it does on the TV, even when it's in your hand. But I have put this on TV to do the latest boss that I did before this pod. And it looked great on TV as well, which not all Nintendo Switch games do. So, yeah, I was very, very impressed. This is actually one of the best looking games that I've seen on the Switch because of the way that they try and put it, because of its kind of contained nature. It's kind of 2.5D, and it's that 2.5D side scrolling, but it at times it has the 3D, turns 3D cutscene and all this kind of stuff, and you're still controlling the shooting and stuff in the 3D cinematic, and it's very, very good. The sound is also very, very Metroid, so fans of the series, the music is very Metroid again, and it changes based on your environment, based on whether you're being chased and all that kind of stuff. It's just incredibly fitting to whatever's going on. So, firstly, it looks outstanding, but the gameplay, it is that classic kind of 2D, and in this case 2.5D Metroid game, but this time seamless controls. I'm assuming that neither of you have actually played Metroid games in the past.
Nope.
No.
I think the controls for the other ones are pretty shoddy. Now, for those who are listening, if you're interested in understanding Metroid a bit more, you can get some of the older Metroids on the Nintendo Switch Online. But yeah, the controls in this are just wonderful. It's so fucking seamless. Now, Metroid as a game, and the actual gameplay of it, if you don't know what it is, it's the pioneer of Metroidvania games. So games like Ori, games like Hollow Knight, that type of discovery game, backtracking game.
Go one place, find something, then you have to backtrack a bit to go to a new area once you've got a new ability or new items.
Exactly that, yeah. It's the granddaddy of all of those. That's what it is. It's the Metroid. So, as you said, classic, explore an area, maybe a boss, maybe go to a new area, gain an ability, go back to the old one, access a new place, rinse, repeat, blah, 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 blah. And this game is mostly running, shooting, and then tactical approaches to different situations.
Tactical approaches do you have to do?
Well, about how you approach a particular area with particular enemies. So I'll take those down, because when you beat enemies in certain ways, you'll get health replenished, you'll get your rockets replenished and stuff like that. So you might have to think about how you're going to go after certain areas and how you're going to get past certain enemies. Do you just run and gun them? Do you run past them? Where that really comes into play is that there are these areas which are clearly defined that you have to go through. And you know the robots that I mentioned at the start that come after you? They're called Emmy, E-M-M-I. They're like stealth sections. So when it detects you and it knows you're there, it will come after you, but you can kind of avoid them. You get an ability so you can go invisible. But that runs out, and then if you're seen or it touches you, whatever, then it's chasing you, and then it turns into like a panic sequence to get out the door. It very much that Resident Evil 2 vibe. It's just performed very well, where it doesn't seem like... I hate stealth in games. I don't know how you guys feel about stealth in games.
I'm not a big fan of stealth. I've never been. It's one of those things that I can appreciate why people enjoy it, but I like to not run and gun all the time, but I don't want to spend my time creeping around.
Yeah.
Let me shoot some shit. And then if I need to calm down a bit, I'll do that. But don't make me like hide in the shadows. And if I get caught, then it's done.
Make me a sneaky archer every day of the week. That's me.
Yeah. If you're playing Skyrim. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But Metroid, that ain't going to work for you there, son. But yeah,
I don't think a bow would work against those big robotic things. No,
because nothing basically works against them. That's the whole point, I suppose. But
21 rockets.
Yeah, no, that still wouldn't help against an Emmy. But those stealth sections, they're not overplayed because they're not overly long, because you basically have to go in and out of the area to like get something or go to the next place or something. But you die a lot. All the time. The bosses take a hot minute to beat. The Emmy, they kill you a lot. You do have a chance when it catches you. You do have a chance to like parry it. But 99% of the time, you won't be able to do that.
Is it fair though, with the dying? Like, is it one of those you learn and then you try to?
I'd say it's incredibly fair. And the reason I say that, the bosses are very, very innovative, incredibly challenging, especially when you first go into a boss fight and you go, "Oh dear, I got slaughtered." But it's fair in so much as the next time you'll get a little bit further on the boss, and then you'll maybe get to the next phase, and you're basically going through these phases of the boss. You're like, please, when will it fucking die? I must be close. But then the time you do the boss, like I spent about 10 tries earlier doing a boss, and in the last time I did the boss, I basically didn't get hit. I just absolutely beasted it. And nice. I love that in a game where the first time you challenge a boss, you go, how am I ever going to do this? And then you get a bit further in the boss and you go, wow, no, really, how am I ever going to do this? And then suddenly it just starts clicking.
It clicks, yeah.
Yeah. And what's beautiful about this game is that it's very difficult, but in two ways. So the boss fights are incredibly challenging. The general getting around and beating enemies in and around the place isn't that challenging, so it's good. It's like Ori in that respect.
Yeah.
And it's fair, and it's got an excellent checkpoint system when you do die. The second challenge is knowing what to do. So this game encourages you to explore. It's all about exploration. And somehow, I don't know how, somehow, despite you not knowing where to go, you work it out and you work out where to go. Okay. Sometimes you're like, am I going the right way? I don't know. And you'll figure out.
Do you have a little mini map or anything, or an overall look?
So you do. You in an area, you unlock the map, but also only when you visited those areas does it fully populate. Yes. And then you do have a mini map, which tells you all of the little nooks and crannies and when you get new abilities, you have to backtrack and find those areas and stuff. And that's the brilliant part of it. But you could be stuck for ages not knowing where to go. And I think I said to you, Eddie, I went to a new area and I was like, what the fuck do I go? Like, I can't go anywhere. And literally it was just turn left, shoot the wall and you're away. I didn't know this. I was like, what the fuck? I was 10 minutes went by and I was like, I get frustrated. They went onto YouTube. Somebody put the exact thing. When you get here, this is the common mistake. Just go left and shoot the wall. Like, it's stuff like that that I can imagine being so frustrating, especially back in the day.
Yeah, can you imagine if you didn't have the internet to go and check that out?
Exactly. And that's why I honestly think that's a massive advantage. So if you've tried Metroid games before or these types of games and you've had problems with them, this is a massive advantage in the modern day to play this type of game, because it's just a few odd things here and there, but they're common Google answers and hints on YouTube. And I'm absolutely fine with using that. Like, and I think most gamers will utilize that to actually beat this game. Like, there's no shame in just cutting down those fucking 5 mindless hours to 5 minutes to
definitely
go there. But on that, I hear the game is about 10 to 15 hours, depending on how good you are. So I assume I'm probably more like the 15 hour thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
20 hour game for me. You know, this is playing so fucking well so far. I've played some decent games this year, like Power Wash Simulator and such. But nothing is like this game. Like this game is so far above. I played Kena the other week, didn't I? And I said, that's a really good game, whatever. This is in a different league.
Mm.
I do feel this is in a different league. And you know, this is perfect clickbait territory for this episode, because asking whether Metroid Dread is dreadful or something like that. But I might have to do that. But in actual fact, it's nearly fucking perfect so far. Like, this is fucking brilliant. And when we were all together at EGX the weekend, you know, both nights got like 3-4 hours sleep, but I was up before everyone the next day playing Metroid. I mean, when you woke up in the morning, I was just playing, had the headphones on, playing Metroid, you know.
So does that mean that you basically already completed it then?
I'm a ways through. I've done many bosses, but I don't know where I am with it. I literally don't know. But I know that I've played a fair bit of it, and I can't put it down. Like, I you know, I want to be playing it. It's just so fun, because even when you don't know what there is to do, where to go, because it marks on your maps like the little items you've missed and stuff like that, it's just great to explore. Everything's fun about the game. So far this is fucking great. So if you're into a challenge, if you're into Metroidvania games, and maybe you haven't played Metroid before, don't be put off that this is the newest one in a series that you haven't played before. Like, this is a Nintendo franchise, and it's great.
You know what, if I had a Switch, and after I just had the little play with it like I did, I'd definitely be getting it.
Yeah. Well, you love Ori.
Yeah, Ori is a fantastic game, and I know that it is based off of Metroids of old, but it looks like the kind of game that I would quite happily sit down and play. So
it's very challenging as well. Very, very challenging. So if you like a challenging game, there's no difficulty rating to this game. It's just the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
you're either going to complete it or you're not, basically, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I think this game's fantastic so far. Really, really into it. So can't say enough good things about it.
Game of the year?
Possibly so far. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll complete it, and then I won't tell you whether it is, because then we'll have our Game of Year show, and then I'll argue the hell out of it then.
Nice. Yeah, because to be fair, you do change opinion. What was the game you played a few weeks ago, and then after a week of playing it, you were like, actually, it's not as good as I thought?
He did that with Pokemon Snap. He said he loved it, and then the following week he came on, and it was like, what was the point?
Yeah, we've all got opinions. It was Deathloop, Eddie. It was
Deathloop, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Excellent game until suddenly I wasn't that bothered. So yeah, let's see how it holds up. But
it should have been for Game Pass.
Maybe so, Kirk. Maybe so. Right, let's move on to our feature, which we've talked about it a few times, so it's EGX really.
Woo.
Yeah, so
why did I do that?
I don't know, that was something. But for those who don't know, EGX it's the largest gaming convention in the UK, and I think even Europe.
Cool. I mean, you have no proof of that, do you?
No, I've just gone strong in on that one. But it was it was in London over last weekend, and I think the Thursday and Friday as well. We went on the Saturday. It has some new... we've been a few times, Eddie, haven't we? Yes. This is your first time, Kirk, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought it was great to be at a gaming convention again. I mean, the last one I went to was back in 2005, which was GameStars Live, funny enough, at the XL. But I don't know, it's just something about being around people and like-minded people, that kind of environment, just kind of, there's something exciting about it, isn't there? When you're somewhere like that. So
I thought the same. I thought, I love the environment, even if the content is lacking.
Yes.
So I think there are a few things at EGX that we enjoy. There's a load of indie games. They sometimes show off new games. They have different talks, and we also like it when they do talks about particular games and stuff. Like when we went to Res, Daddy, we saw Warhammer Vermintide.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you watch that talk, and you're like, you know, I could play this game.
Yeah,
that looks good.
Even though the presenters were horrendously good.
They weren't so good.
What did you just seeing like the screens and stuff, you know? It was good.
Yeah, what did you think about this one?
Well, the one we watched?
Yeah, no, this event, EGX.
Well, I'm glad you said about the events, because, look, I'm going to sound like the like good old Eddie, grumpy as ever. I thought it was really, there were a lot of bad things to it, but I before I go into details, I had a really good time. I do. As Kirk said, like just being around people with the same cloth as yourselves, and it's just cloth. I'm going to use that. Cut from the same cloth, but I just wanted to shorten it. You know, the atmosphere of all, like everyone kind of there, everyone. I mean, how many people came up to us because we had the Grumpy Gamers merch on, you know?
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was just, yeah, just everything about it and seeing cool little things that, like even the little crappy little games that I would never go near, I just, you know, talking to the developers, hearing how they made it. Kirk, we chatted to, you know, is it the university students that made those games?
Yes.
And you go like, wow, that's really impressive that, you know, one person has made this game in front of us. Just the whole thing was great, but as an event, it was quite poor.
Was lacking.
Yeah, I thought the chats were. I went through every single like company that was doing like chats and events at the thing, and it was just like every one was really poor.
Live talks, weren't they? The live talks. Yeah.
And there's a lot of them about that. I think there's four different stages, or not stages, you know, three of them don't even have a stage. And there was normally, I think there's like four or five throughout the day. And you know, that's a lot of things that I researched and thought this is not worth our time. We did see one chat, which was really interesting. But again, it wasn't even marketed right, was it? It said like a game. And we went, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind. Hopefully that shows like how they made it, maybe behind the scenes. And it was actually just a chat with a games developer, which was pretty interesting, don't get me wrong.
The talk was labelled Beyond a Steel Sky.
Yeah.
That was the name of the game, wasn't it?
Yes, so, that was the name of the game. But it was actually just Charles Cecil of Revolution Software just talking really much about his history, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And do you reckon it's kind of a play on the name of the game, though, Beyond... I know the game wasn't called Steel Sky.
Yeah, it may have been a play. And also, I reckon it was just to attract people, because if you said his name, maybe he wouldn't have been as recognisable as the game itself. Yeah, but true. I think we were slightly disappointed, because we do like going to talks about particular games. But it wasn't quite like that. But it was actually very entertaining.
Do you know one thing I noticed about the place? That obviously the halls, I think they had about four halls for that that event, didn't they? And did you notice there was quite a lot of empty space at the back of the halls?
I wonder if
maybe due to, you know, with the way the world is right now, if there were certain deals that fell through, certain plots were not filled in because I think
a bit of that, Kurt. I do. Because
I reckon there could have been, there probably was meant to be a fair bit more, but that's why the website was so lacking as well leading up to it, because there was no confirmed stuff.
I agree, because the reason I a couple of years ago when Eddie, Pete and myself went, we could play the Avengers before it came out and stuff. There were big games there. You could play Luigi's Mansion 3, I think, before it came out as well.
Cyberpunk were having a sort of cinema thing, wasn't it? But the queue was like a fucking hour long, so we were like...
Mm. Right, yeah, Cyberpunk had a special, like it was a 15-20 minute, and you had to like book in a particular time to go and see this Cyberpunk presentation. Like, it was quite a big deal.
So those are big games that were there then. What was the biggest thing that was there when we were there?
I'd probably say... like Baldur's Gate 3
I was gonna say they had a big area for Baldur's Gate 3, which is difficult because that's the first thing I went, it's early access, you can fucking play it. And I saw it and I saw the queue was massive and I was like, oh, fuck's sake.
By saying that, like, you could play Back for Blood. There was a huge queue for Back for Blood, and I was thinking,
was it an hour
coming out in 3 days?
Yes, it's coming out in a couple of days, and it just seemed weird, like, oh, that's what people are. So in that area, there was like an over 18s area where you could play Deathloop, but you could queue up for Xbox Game Pass games like Halo and stuff, for Back for Blood. And the queues, it said like from this point it's an hour and a half or 90 minute wait, and we just think, really, what, like, all these games are out, and I know like not everyone has the money or internet, and actually, I could play that game. That would be cool because maybe I might want to buy it. But you think you queue up for games that are not out?
Yes.
I also saw somebody, like, when there was a Life is Strange, a True Colors trailer came up, and this person with their group of friends got very excited and animated when this came up on the screen. And I thought, that's quite weird, because either you're excited for that game, so you've probably played it, or you're what now? If you're excited, you'd already have played it, but if why would you be excited? And so what, you're excited because other people get to see it, but nobody else is watching it? It was just all very, just, I couldn't work it out. I was trying to compute, but it did seem a bit lacking in kind of game content. What wasn't lacking was the indie showing, I thought.
They had a lot there, didn't they?
So what cool games did we see? Can you remember any names?
That did look cool, and
I've since looked that up since I've come home. As you said, Eddie, I think there's a demo on.
It's a free demo on Steam.
But they're adding. I remember them saying. The guy there promoting it was saying how they're constantly adding new content to it, and the most recent update was to do with the ants that cut leaves.
No. I think they've got the cut leave ones. Fire ants.
That was it. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, and they keep on adding new types of ants, and each ant has its own mechanism, and you've got base building and stuff like that. Nest building.
Yeah. don't you worry, Eddie. I'm working on that free code for you. Don't you worry. expect that very soon.
Literally, in the reason why you got free codes. But fine. Yeah.
I've put in the effort already, mate. Don't worry about it.
Brilliant. Excellent. But I also had... War Mongrels, as we said earlier. Saw that. Played that. Terraformers was another one I really liked the look of. It's like a corny builder resource management game. I always like those kind of games, but it looked really good. Yeah,
that one looked really good. With those university students, as you mentioned, some of their games looked so impressive. There was one called Gravity Commando, which was... I spoke to the guy who developed it, and he said it was like a Doom and Portal inspired first person shooter, and it was, I mean, like, that's what it was. It was Doom meets Portal. It was, and it looked phenomenal. And he said it was the demo was coming out after this event and stuff like that. So
the one where you like switch views and stuff?
Yes, yeah, like, you could flip it a bit like Splitgate in that regard. It was like flipping the environment and stuff. That looked very good. So there were, I did think that Empires of the Undergrowth looked very good. That's actually, it's an early access game, but it was came out a couple of years ago, like first. But you're right, they just constantly seem to be putting in content. But I would say that the indie games were more dominant, way more dominant. And like in previous years, like at all these events, including Rezzed, because Rezzed is by the same people, but it's a smaller event. It's like an indie specific event. And we've enjoyed that. But like previously, I played like Katana Zero. I played Untitled Goose Game. My friend Pedro. I played all of those three games before they came out, and I bought the game as a result of playing. Because it was that cool to see it. But this time there just weren't really any of those, were they?
I mean, you can't compare it to Rezzed, because Rezzed is a lovely little homely feely kind of event, isn't it? Like,
it is.
You don't seem to queue for games. You just jump on and play it, and people are friendly and they chat to you. And don't get wrong, you know what it's like. EGX, that first like 5 meters is the equivalent of Rezzed, but Rezzed is on a 20 times bigger scale.
Yeah. So right at the start of the event, what you're talking about is that you walk in and there's just like
there's those games. 12
indie games, weren't there? Just like. Or like maybe 20 indie games or something, but Rezzed is just that, like,
throughout different rooms, areas,
developers. And, Devolver Digital have like a big place there. They've got all their 5 new games and like stuff. Yeah. How much do you think of this was affected by Corona? The lack of the big games, is that?
I mean, last year that there wasn't exactly many, was there?
Oh, that was 2 years ago. Because last year it wasn't on. So
two years ago.
But there were some, but like, I'm starting to think that there's two things here. There's the Corona stuff. There's the lack of big games in general. And there's also that fact that they want to show their games off at big stages like Gamescom or.
You even see online stuff is getting bigger and bigger, isn't it? You know, yes, like their reveals online. So, yeah, maybe they're just trying to go away from it.
Well, let's just... I mean, I'm not saying for 1 minute that Dead Space would be there, like, at an event like this. But, you know, we watched that recent Dead Space event.
Yeah.
And I know when we were driving back, you said to me, Eddie, that wouldn't it be great if they had other games that just did exactly what they did there and just talked you through some development of their game. That would be such a great
talk. That would be cool.
Well, you know what it reminded me is when we did watch that Vermintide a few years ago, that presentation. And I remember thinking, I'm a Games Workshop fan, but I know what Vermintide is. I knew what it was before I went, and I'm not interested. But just seeing stuff like behind the game, you know, how they made it. Not only did it get me interested in games in general, but it did get me interested in the game itself. And I was like, oh, that's clever how they've done that. Maybe. And it got me thinking about other games, like, oh, maybe they've used the same software. And it's just interesting things like that. All gamers love that kind of shit. So
they do. Yeah. And I'm way more inclined. I give games way more time when I'm at an event like that.
Absolutely. Like
you actually sit there, you look at it,
you feel connected, don't you?
I was chatting to those developers about games that if you made me review it on here, I would fucking destroy. I would talk about how dog shit is for about 20 minutes without taking a breath. But when I'm talking to the developers and they're going, oh, we worked on this to do this bit, you know, like that Ant game, I was, how long was I chatting to him? I was like, that's really interesting. How did you do that?
Five minutes.
I'm downloading the demo, you know? So yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't. It's just a totally different environment for games. It's you're there because you want to be there, and that's just the difference. And it's different from Game Pass or something, where you download a game and then you discard it if it doesn't take your fancy within half an hour or so. But despite all the game stuff, like the other stuff that they've got going on, they've got like cosplay stuff, and some people's like outfits were fucking impressive.
Princess
Peach.
Princess Peach was there. But we watched a Rocket League tournament for money, like a pro Rocket League tournament.
And it that was grand. $5,000 was the top prize.
$5,000 for top, third, that's $3,000 for second, and then one and a half for third. And there were four teams, but they'd all qualified to be there. And supposedly it was before their actual season starts. But they were fucking outstanding. Eddie and Kirk, you play loads of Rocket League, don't you?
Yes.
And they were outstanding.
It was just like watching me, yeah.
Yeah,
It wasn't what I was saying.
The thing I appreciated about that, we've all seen like outstanding players, like with the clips online and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But to see it in person, I know we weren't like close up to them, but they're real people literally doing
it was
crazy
awesome.
Shit
I
on there.
Fucking loved it. Honestly, that was probably the highlight. I was going mental. As soon as Ben went, do you want to put 10 quid on this? I was like, boom!
Yeah, we did have a little bet. Sure. I did lose a bet as well. So
heavily.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it was a whitewash, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was absolutely, yeah. 4-0, yeah.
Who would have thought? But yeah, that was cool.
That was so much fun. You know what I wish they did is they moved more of that stuff to... They've got that stage where people face off against each other. But I remember 2 years ago, it was the exact same. It was Street Fighter. And I remember the exact same 2 years ago. There was no one watching it.
Yeah.
And if you saw that Rocket League game, there was 30 people crowded around. Yes. And that was like without any hype. No one knew that it was going on. We only went there, Ben, because we thought that... Average Dad was playing Battlefield on one of the big screens. It turns out he was just playing on one of the side fucking computers, and he was having a nightmare, wasn't he?
Average Dad was there. He was lagging out. I think he was streaming. Like, he posted on his Facebook that he was there, so we thought I wanted to go and see him. Whatever. We thought that he would be like maybe playing on a big screen or something like that, but he was literally on the side of the stage, like on a monitor and doing his normal stream to his normal fans on Facebook, which was a bit disappointing. And he was lagging out as well, and he wasn't
he was having the problems with the shooting of the gun that a lot of streamers have had, playing it have had. So
exactly. So it doesn't seem to have been having a great time. But then we just stumbled across that Rocket tournament event. Now, what should have been happening? Wasn't there like a Street Fighter event or something going on at the same time? Was it Street Fighter or another fighting game?
I think
if that if that Rocket League event had been on that main stage and we could have sat down in the seats, we could have got a beer as well. Oh, it'd be so fucking good.
You know what they should do as well? Like, I don't know, put like maybe screens or even fucking boards just saying this is happening on this stage, like a Rocket League tournament, or even like, you know, you've heard how loud the commentators are on all these things. So maybe just someone in 5 minutes, the Rocket League final will be down. And I mean, 20 to 30 people go have the round. They didn't even know it was happening. So they could have got fucking 70, 80 people there cheering on, whoever.
What it did encourage me to think was if there are some of these gaming tournaments that are being held somewhere, like a Rocket League tournament or something on a day somewhere, like how cool would that be? Good if there was beers flowing.
Yes.
Fucking brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah, be insane. But the crucial questions, I think, coming out of this, the first one for me is, do we actually prefer Rezzed as opposed to EGX?
Ooh.
That's more directed at Eddie, I would have thought. And to Kirk, it's more... Did you enjoy the indie section more than the rest of it?
I mean, it was... For me, there wasn't enough big stuff there to balance, like, for there to be one better than the other. It was pretty even for me. So I'm not... unlike you guys who adore indies, I do like some indie titles, but I'm not... it's not my go-to. I'm the AAA guy. Like, I play the big games, but...
Yeah.
For me, the whole thing, it was just nice, you know? Nothing majorly overpowered anything else, in my opinion. It was just nice to be there. Maybe after going next year or the year after, or compare it to some other events that we go to, then I've got a better understanding. Because like I said, this is the first one I've been to, so it was just good to be there.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shit cop-out answer, I know, but, you know.
No, I totally agree. I absolutely love being there. It's weird because, I mean... If I'm comparing this to 2 years ago, I would say it wasn't as good. If I was saying comparing to Rezzed, I would say it wasn't as good, but I had a fucking great time. I think Rezzed is just done better. I think there's no queue for games. There's loads of games. I mean, I was just thinking about them, Ben. Do you remember Borderlands? Was it 3?
Yes. You could just walk into that room and you could play. Yeah,
was
just play it.
Fucking loads. Was there like, I think there was like 4 rows and each one had like 6 consoles on it.
Yeah, just walk up to a console, pick up the controller and start playing.
But you could do that with all the games. I remember you did it with fucking Untitled Goose Game. We did it with My Name is Pedro, and even I went, fuck me, this is good.
My friend Pedro, yeah.
Whatever it is. And it's just, you could do that with loads of consoles. It just seemed better done. It seemed maybe less people or maybe more consoles, but it just seemed better. Like, the areas were well-defined. Like, do you remember you had the board game area?
Yes,
and I remember looking in that room going, that looks awesome. They must have been such a good time. While you compare that to EGX, where they're just dumped in this little... I mean, it's you know, they need to use a big space like that at the whatever... What's it called? The
Excel
Center. So, you know, it's big, so it hasn't got any character. But still, I think Rezzed is better because it's done better.
Yeah, I think it was done better. I did like the different areas at Rezzed. I think Rezzed is more about playing games, because when you have indies, like, because nobody knows what the indie is, they have to play the game.
Yeah.
So I think Rezzed is more about playing games. I did hear a little whisper on Twitter that I think that Rezzed isn't coming back to the Tobacco Dock. That's where it was, right?
I
don't think it's being held there anymore. I think it's moving on, which that really was a perfect environment because it was very homely and
loads of little areas,
little cubbies like here there. Yeah, it was
a few bars there dotted around. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. The second question that I've got, and probably the final question on this, is do you actually think that the UK and Europe, do we need a larger expo with showcasing more upcoming AAA games? Is that necessary?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, it's going to be difficult to do, because if you do like a Europe one, yes, you're going to get the big hitters with AAA games, but you're going to have so many more people, which means longer queues, which means less time with games.
What about your event that you went to back in the day, Kirk? Is that something that you'd like to...
I tell you what, okay, and granted, I was like 15 in 2005, but when Halo 2 was announced, it was massive. Like, everyone adored Halo, and it was literally the hottest thing in the gaming industry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And when they announced that Bungie were going to be there with it, and it was going to be the first time in the world, I think it was the world at that point, that you could play Halo 2, and I think it was like one team deathmatch, like 4-on-4, but yeah. you had to go behind, you know, like Baldur's Gate had like a closed off area, and you couldn't go, you had to like go in, you weren't allowed to take photography or anything like that, and it just seemed really like VIP, and like being able to play the game just for those like 5 minutes was just an epic thing, and I knew I was in the queue for like an hour and a half, but it was worth it.
But now, Kirk, we just play the Halo Infinite tech demo. Like,
it's a different world, but to that point, I don't. What is so big at the moment that people would have that same kind of anticipation like I did back then?
I don't know. It's very hard, but there's
times have changed a lot, haven't they?
Because there's so many games, there's so many franchises. I don't know, but there would be, like, if a new Resident Evil was announced or something like that, people would queue up for days to play it.
Even
Resident Evil, they put out demos. I agree. I think EGX needs to up its game a little bit. It wasn't, but it turned out to be. But I do think it needs to up its game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they'll blame it on COVID, but yeah, it needs to be bigger stuff. It needs to be done better. It needs to be organized better. It needs to be better.
Yeah, I think our conclusion is we had a lovely time because we love gaming.
Great
expos.
Time. Yeah, I know. I hate being so negative when I actually had a fucking amazing time, and I really did. Yeah. But yeah, it was amazing because of the people. It was amazing because you get to chat to the developers. It's amazing you get to chat to people who, you know, recognize our tops, and we get to talk about podcasts. We bumped into some content creators, didn't we, and some other podcast people, and you get to chat about your experiences about games and get different opinions. It's great because of the people. It's great because of the people that are there.
It's socializing again. We're doing what we have to do.
Exactly, and the fact that we haven't done it in so long. But at the end of the day, we did go to an event, and the event itself needs to be better, because you can't rely on the fact that you're meeting people of your own cloth, as we say.
As
the famous term goes. The event needs to be better. I would like it to be better in the future.
Well, the dates for 2022 have been announced, so anyone could check that out online. I think it's pretty much the same time next year. But and I think
there's
Res
two
as well.
Dates next year, actually.
Oh, it's Birmingham. This. Birmingham,
yes,
and London.
One in Birmingham and one in London.
So there's one in Birmingham in March, I believe, and then there's one in London at the same time next year. So if anyone's interested in going to a huge UK expo, then check those dates out for EGX, and we might even see you there. But
did you say Res does come in?
I think it's, there was chat about it not being at Tobacco Dock, so I assume it's got a new venue. I can only assume.
I hope so, because obviously they cancelled the last one, didn't they? But
I think they cancelled this year's as well. I think they have anyway. But if anybody wants to get in touch, because they were at EGX, they've got any good games that they saw that we didn't, you can email us at podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. And as I mentioned previously, we're on the Twitter @GrumpyGamersPod, and our anniversary episode will be next week. We're going to do a top three. They are the funnest episodes that we do. So I'll announce on Twitter this week what category we'll be top three-ing, and we'll hopefully see you then. But for this week, it's GG.
Come on, Kirk, say GG!
Oh, shit, GG.
And it's GG from me.